We're going to end up in Proverbs, but I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians, my message this morning is, how shall we live? How shall we live? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6 says these words, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that comes to naught. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we look at this topic of how shall we live, Father, as we consider the topic of wisdom here this morning, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and guide our thoughts. And Father, as we look at Proverbs chapter 29 and the wisdom that you have put there for us as your people, I pray there that we would have a heart and an ear to perceive and understand all that you've given to us. So, Lord, bless us toward this end. Guide our thoughts here this morning. Thank you for your word, which is truth. And, Lord, may we hear your word through the Spirit's teaching us. And, Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son and honors your word. So, Lord, thank you for being a great God. Thank you for the eternal word of God that is forever settled in heaven. And, Father, we ask your blessing upon us this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we all need wisdom in our life, and wisdom is something that only comes from God. God has created heaven and earth and sea, and all he has made has been created by his great power and wisdom. And in this verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature or complete, that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. That little phrase, not the wisdom of this world. Now, there is earthly wisdom and there's spiritual wisdom. There is wisdom you find in this world and there's heavenly wisdom out there. And what we want to do as God's people is make sure we always embrace the wisdom that comes from God, not the wisdom of this world. Because this wisdom of this world is going to come, as verse 6 says here, the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught or come to nothing. Now, if you embrace the wisdom of this world, eventually, at the end of the road, you're going to meet God. At the end of the road, you're going to meet God, and God's going to say, that's not what I ordained. That's not what I taught. That's not what you should have believed. Because there's a wisdom of this world that many people have followed, that many people have embraced the wisdom of this world. Can unsaved people have knowledge? Absolutely. They can have knowledge. Can somebody be a smart devil? They can. They can be a smart devil. They can have understanding, but it's only of this world. It doesn't have God's blessing or understanding upon it. Now, to give you an example of some wisdom of this world. Okay. Now, God's word teaches that it's more blessed to give than to what? Receive. That God says that. Now, a wisdom of this world says that if you've got, let's just say, $100 in your bank, and you give a certain part of that to the church, you're going to have less than you'll ever have because you gave some away. The world would say, when you give, you're just going to have less and less and less the more you give away. Now, when God says, when you give to me, what can God do back to you? If you give to him, what can he that soweth sparingly shall reap what? Sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap what? Bountifully. If you sow, you can reap bountifully if you give to God. Who controls all things? God does. See, what the world says, the world's like a pie, and it's only cut up so much, and if you take a piece out of that pie, you'll just have what's left. God says, I'm like a waterfall that has no beginning and no end. The more you take that away, the more I can pour into your life. That's how God, see, that's the wisdom of God. God has a way we should see things. Now, a wise person, what they want to do with their life to have wisdom, they want to get to the point where they're seeing things the way God sees them. Because if you're just seeing things the way the world sees it, and you're embracing the world's thoughts and the world's philosophy and the world's ideas, you're going to drift farther and farther away from God. What you want to do is position yourself that you can see things the way God sees them. You can have that divine viewpoint, that you can have the understanding the way God ordains it. There is a wisdom of this world in verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are mature, complete in Christ, the wisdom of God. We speak these things. Now, when you say Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, a person that is unsaved, that doesn't know God, that doesn't have the Spirit of God, they'll hear that statement and they'll say, what do I do with that? How does that work? But for the believer that has been saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, when you hear somebody say, Jesus died for your sins and set you free, that you can go to heaven and enjoy eternal life from God, does that bless you? That should bless you. If it doesn't bless you, I must say your blesser's broke or something. But that should bless you when somebody talks about the redeeming work of Christ, that you've been saved from the wrath of God to come. That should bless you. When we speak spiritual things to spiritual people, they get it. They understand it. But for the unsaved, the unregenerate, people of this world, people that have just the wisdom of this world, just the knowledge of this world, you speak spiritual things and it just goes right by. Choo! They don't get it. They don't understand it. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. The people that don't know God, they don't understand the things of God. They can't embrace it. Look down in verse 13, the same chapter. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. There's a definite difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. Now, in this world, among young people, we have more and more young people living together than ever before in America. More and more young people living together. Is that God's plan for how young people should conduct their lives? Is that God's plan? No, it's not. In God's wisdom, one man for one woman for one lifetime. Is that a good definition of a marriage? One man for one woman for one lifetime. That's what God says. Okay. Now, the wisdom of this world says you can live together, that's okay. And a lot of young people are doing that. But it doesn't make it right. The wisdom of God says one man for one woman for one lifetime. There used to be a time in America when that was honored. One woman for one man for one, that was honored. Was our nation better when one man for one woman for one lifetime was honored? Was our nation better? Okay, when people live together, we have got more broken homes, more latchkey children, more single parents than ever before. But the world, they don't have anything to say against it. They don't have any problem with it. That's the world speaking. That's the wisdom of this world. But God ordains things a certain way because there's wisdom in obeying how He says it, how He ordains it, because He is God and God makes the rules and God knows what's best for us. Now, when marriage is honored, a nation is strengthened. When marriage is dishonored, a nation is weakened. The stronger the Christian home, the stronger the families in America, the stronger America is going to be. The weaker the family, the weaker the relationships, the more heartaches and social problems we'll have. Why is there so many shootings in Chicago? Because there's gangs. And why are there gangs? Because there's so many young people that have no mom and dad in their life, period. Where do they find a sense of camaraderie? Where do they find a sense of protection? Where do they find a sense of belonging to? It's in what? The gangs. And guess what gangs like to do? You're on my turf. This is my street. This is my whatever. And they what? Kill each other relentlessly. It's the bottom root issue is the broken home. There's not dads in a young man's life saying, son, you're not going to run the streets at night. I heard this saying a long time ago. If you're out after midnight, nothing good happens after midnight. Can I get a witness to that? Is that true? I heard a parent tell their kid that. I thought, that is a good saying. Nothing good happens after midnight. And if parents would make sure they knew where their kids were doing, what they were doing, when they were doing it, who are they with, our country would be so much better. But do you see where the wisdom of the world takes you? Do you see what happens when the wisdom of this world is embraced and the knowledge of God is suppressed? Tell me one book that's censored in America today. Which book is it? Try to carry your Bible to a public school. Sometimes you can get them in, sometimes you can't, but it's under great duress. It used to be when the Bible was honored in our schools. Kids learned the Ten Commandments. They knew, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. These things were part of our culture. The wisdom of the world says, no restraints, no boundaries. Do what you want to do. That's the wisdom of the world. But where does it take you? Where does it take you? Where do we end up as a nation? We don't want to go down that road. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2. Which things we speak, the believers, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. See, there's a wisdom of God. There's a wisdom in this world. But which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now, if you're saved and you know God, you have the Holy Spirit. When you read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit can energize those words on the page and it can jump out at you. Have you ever read a verse and it just seemed to come right off the page and hit you and say, and you knew that verse was for you? You ever had that experience? You know what I'm talking about? That the Holy Spirit energizes that verse for you that day to give you what you needed in your Christian life. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. That's what a Spirit-filled believer has. That's the gift of God. The Holy Spirit will give to us what we need. The Holy Spirit teaches us from God's Word. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We're working through the Scriptures. We're understanding. Verse 14. But the natural man. What's another way to say the natural man? The unregenerate man. What's a natural man? The man that has not the Spirit of God. What's a natural man? Somebody that's unsaved. An unsaved person, they have no hope of heaven. And these people that embrace the wisdom of this world, and then without the knowledge of God, they have got God to deal with at the end of their life. It is a serious thing to go through this world unsaved, unregenerate, without being born again, without knowing Christ. If you're just a natural person, you have the wrath of God that you're going to deal with one day. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, for us as believers, does one man for one woman for one lifetime make sense to you? Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. That makes sense. Yes. It's plain can be. Our Supreme Court a few years ago says a man with a man is okay. That's a marriage. Is that foolishness? Yes. Give 100 years, where would a population of a nation be if that happened? We'd be done for. That's not God's plan. That's the wisdom of the world. What does the natural man say? You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm my own boss. I'm not going to have anybody telling me what to do. See, that's a natural man speaking. A true born-again Christian says, not my will, but what? Thine be done. That's a spirit-filled person. It's not a natural person. And I'll give you some wisdom here. If somebody comes up to you and says they're born again and they know Christ, okay, how can you tell somebody saved? Do they have a big C on their back once you get saved? Does God stamp that on your back that you're a Christian? How can you tell if somebody's saved? By if they submit themselves to the Spirit of God and its teaching in the Word of God. If a person doesn't submit themselves to the authority of God's Word, and I'm not saying we're perfect. We are not sinless when we get saved, but every day we try to sin less. We're not sinless, but we try to sin less. We're being sanctified. But a person that doesn't respect God's word, that has no understanding of spiritual matters, and lives a carnal life, and yet they say they know God, would you have good reason to suspect they might not know God? Absolutely. Because the man that knows God and has the Holy Spirit is going to have some spirituality about them. And sometimes we label people as a carnal Christian. But like Billy Sunday said, some backsliders have never slidden forward in the first place. Do you know what I'm saying? We call them backsliders, but the real issue is they never were saved to begin with. And so we have to be careful, because the wisdom of this world gives their blessings on so many things that are wrong. But the natural man, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual has the wisdom of God, has the knowledge of God. Verse 15, he that is spiritual judges all things. You're discerning. You're understanding. You can discern right from wrong. That's the wisdom of God working in your life. Now, turn to James chapter 1, verse 5. It says these words, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what's those next five words? Let him ask of God. If you lack wisdom, let him ask. Okay, you're saved, and you want God's wisdom in your life. What do you need to do? You ask him for it. You ask him. Lord, I want to live a life that pleases you. Now, one fellow said it like this. It's so hard to soar with the eagles when I live among the turkeys. Do you understand what he's saying? He wants to be up here, but he feels like he's down here because all these people around him are dragging him down. See, that's the challenge we have in our lives is how do we deal with life? Because there's so many situations that happen. And we want to finish our race well. We want to live a life that honors God. We want to have that wisdom of God. So if we lack it and we need it, verse 5 says, if any of you lack of wisdom, let him ask of God. And what's the promise there in verse 5? That giveth to all men liberally or generously. God wants to give it to you. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. You need wisdom in our lives. Is America facing some challenges today? Do you pray that we'd have some wise leaders in our nation? Would wise leaders help our nation? Okay. Now, before our leaders got to be leaders, somebody had to pull the arm on the ballot box. At least I hope that's how our elections work that way. It's supposed to work that way. I'm not going there, but that's how it's supposed to work, okay? And somebody had to vote them what? In. So before we get a wise man, we have to be wise enough to vote for what? A wise man. And if we want wise men to run our nation, there's got to be enough Christian voters to vote godly people in. Now, out in California, they're trying to recall the governor. But in one news thing I saw, there's two Democrat voters for every one Republican. Now, if we want to have wisdom in our own personal lives and in our nation, if there was more Christians, would that be a wise thing for our nation? That would be wise. It'd be good for our nation if we had more Christians. If that be so, and you want to be a wise person and more righteous people, righteousness exalts a what? Nation. But sin is what? A reproach to any people. So if we want a more wise nation that follows after God, what would be a wise thing for us to do as God's people so that we can help our nation? What would be a wise thing to do?
Vote
Okay, vote for them. But how about make more wise people by getting more people saved? Would that be a wise thing to do? He that wins souls, Proverbs says, is what? Wise. It makes sense. You win somebody to Christ, and they live for God, and now we can have more righteous people voting in righteous people. Because if you have too many natural people voting that don't know God, what kind of leaders are we going to get? People that don't know God. So if any man lacks in wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay. Proverbs 29 here. Last week, the title was, How Shall We Live? This is part two. Last week was, We Should Live Righteously. How shall we live? We should live righteously. That was last week's message. This week, how shall we live? We shall live wisely. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 29. That was all introductory material there. Okay, Proverbs 29 here, moving quickly here. Proverbs chapter 29, we should live wisely. Now, the whole book of Proverbs is giving us these golden nuggets along the way to help us live a life that is a blessing to ourselves and to others around us. We don't hurt ourselves. We don't hurt those we love. We want to be wise in our dealings to please God, to honor His word, to obey the laws of God, to obey the laws of our land. We should live wisely. How shall we live? We should live wisely. Now, we should live righteously, we should live wisely, we should live humbly, we should live trusting the Lord, we should live by good judgments. This week is, we should live wisely. Look at verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 29. Scornful, sinful, wicked men bring a city into a snare. Okay? I want to name a city and you tell me how that worked out. How about Portland? How did that work out for Portland? Do you know what I'm talking about? All the protests, burnings. How many nights did they have protests? 150 some nights? I don't know what it was. It was off the charts. Can unregenerate men, the natural men, men that don't know God, can they bring a city into a snare? They can. They can. And we see it happening across our land. But wise men, okay, how should we live? Wise men. How do you get wisdom? I see things the way God sees it. Although the natural man says one thing, God says this, I'm going to do what God says because God says so. But the wise men turn away wrath. They know this is going to work and this is not going to work. Now, for young people, some of us saints of God have been around a little longer than you have. And when you're young, I get it, I was there, you think you know everything, or you think, my parents don't know anything. I know what I know. But all I'd add to that is, you know what you know, but that's all you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know what you know, but that's all you know. Because you haven't walked the life we walk. Now, this is how wisdom works. You have knowledge combined with experience. You put knowledge and experience together and you get wisdom. Life gets you many life experiences. Life gives you many opportunities to learn. You put experience plus knowledge together, you get wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge right plus experience gives you the wisdom to make a right decision. A right decision. The thing about young people, sometimes they think they're making a right decision. Now, I was talking to a man this week, and he told me, I'm just telling you his words, I should have never married her. That's what he said to me. I should have never married my wife. Now, I've heard that story from one man, I've heard that story from two men, and if I thought long enough, I could probably come up with more men in my life that I've heard that. And I know one man who told me that. He said his parents looked at him and said, you should not marry that woman. You should not marry her. And he said to me, I went against my parents' wishes. Now, experience, knowledge equals wisdom. And sometimes when you're young, you think you have plenty of experience, plenty of knowledge, but you don't. Because older people that have walked with God, that have experiences in life and knowledge in life, they have some wisdom that you don't have yet. And if they see something you don't see, you ought to say, whoa, let me think about this. Let me reevaluate this. Because what are they seeing that I don't see? Because what you don't want to do is make a step in a certain direction, and you will never be able to get beyond that. And I still remember that man saying, my parents told me not to marry her. And he regretted that, the pain that was in his life. So how shall we live? A wise man turns away wrath. A wise man can see trouble coming. Hey, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. A wise person can avoid it. A wise person can turn away from it. A wise person knows how to not to go down that road and get in that trouble. Scornful, that's wicked, sinful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 29. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, okay, you got two men. A wise person has knowledge and experience, puts them together with God's Spirit in his life, and has a wise person. If he contends with a foolish man, now, he has a situation that he's dealing with somebody. And how does this verse end up? It says, whether he rages or laughs, the foolish man, whether he rages or laughs, there is no rest. Now, a foolish man. A foolish person. Who is foolish? I want to make a statement. There is no God. Is that a foolish statement? As soon as somebody says that, what category do they go in? A foolish person. As soon as they say that. I don't care how many doctor's degrees they got after their name. They can just be a wise devil. They have put themselves in the category of what? A fool. Because you don't have to see a builder to know there was a builder. That school across the street, does that testify there was a builder that built that school? You know there had to be a builder because the school is standing there. For somebody to say, yeah, I see the building, but nobody built this thing. Would that be a foolish statement? That'd be a foolish statement. And for somebody to look at the heavens and earth and everything God has made and say there is no God, immediately they say that, they're a foolish person. And so when you get into some type of debate, some type of situation, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the foolish man rages or laughs, there is no rest, because a foolish man is not going to want to hear about the things of God or submit to the authority of God or the knowledge of God. He suppresses the knowledge of God. How shall we live? We should live wisely, righteously, wisely. A wise man can turn away wrath, keep out of trouble. A wise man knows who to talk to, who not to talk to. Now, how do you know a foolish person? Look at verse 11. A fool utters all his what? Mind. Now, these two people were going at it one time, and this one fellow's really upset, and he said to the other fellow, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And the other fellow says, well, don't give away too much. You won't have much left. And when you give away a piece of your mind, you're very foolish. Because a fool utters all of his mind. You just let it, whatever's on your mind, you just let it rip. Just let it go. You don't care who's around. You don't care what is being said. You don't care who it hurts. You're just giving them a piece of your mind. The Bible says you're foolish if you don't have any self-control. A wise man keeps it in. Keeps it in. Till afterwards. A fool utters all of his mind. Now, you ever had a situation that got you upset and something happened and you later come to find out you didn't know this and this and this about the situation, which totally changed your perspective on why somebody did whatever they did. Because sometimes you hear something and that makes you so mad. Why did they do this? Why did they say that? And then after you investigated a while, you come to realize, oh, that's why they did it. And that's why it's wise sometimes to refrain from making a snap judgment or reaction quickly. Because you may regret it because you may not have all the information you need. A wise man keeps it in. He restrains himself. He doesn't let his anger flare till afterwards. A wise man keepeth it in, reflects upon it, then makes a judgment call. That's a wise person. Is that something you can use in your life, that verse? Does that make sense? Do you ever have things that push your button? You ever have somebody makes you mad and hurts you? And you just want to, they hit you, so you want to what? Hit them back. Well, yeah, harder. Yeah, yeah. That's the flesh. But self-restraint, a wise man restrains himself. Well, we could. There is so much wisdom here in this one chapter, so much golden nuggets. Let's just back up to verse 3 here for a minute. Whoso loveth wisdom, you want to love wisdom, rejoices his father. You love wisdom, you want to be a wise person. The minute you take experience and knowledge, you combine it together to make wise decisions. You rejoice your father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spends his substance. Now, how did it go for the prodigal son when he went off to the far country? How did his life turn out? How did his father feel about him? When he said, Father, give me my inheritance, what was he saying to his dad? I wish you were as good as dead. Give me my money now. How do you think the dad felt? Totally dishonored. And the prodigal son went and lived his life in riotous living. Did verse 3, was that a reality for the prodigal son? He lost everything and ended up eating pig food, if he could have. The pods that they fed to the pigs, the hogs. You know, if you want to waste your life, be a fool then. If you want to waste your substance, be a fool. If you want to hurt the people that love you, be a fool. But if you want to honor God and honor your parents and bless your life, be a wise person. Where do you get wisdom? From the knowledge of God that he gives in the scriptures and from people that have lived before you with knowledge and experience. You can lean into them to help you. We'll pick up verse 15 next week. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We'll pick up those thoughts in following through here. But let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've looked at this subject of wisdom here this morning, Father, don't let us play the fool with our life. Don't let us go down the wrong road in our life. Don't let us waste our life in riotous living. God, help us to see that we hurt those around us when we don't walk in wisdom toward. Lord, help us to walk in wisdom toward them without, that we may redeem the time. God, that we may take this time and make the most of it for your glory and your honor and for our own good, God. Make us wise servants for you, Lord. Father, there's so much vain philosophy in this world and so much doctrines of demons in this world and so much that goes against the knowledge and counsel of God. And may we be wise men and women, that we embrace the truth and abide in the truth and love the truth and defend the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come unto the Father but by me. So Lord, help us at this end to be wise people, that we're not condemned with the world. Lord, help us to be the saints of God, that one day we hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So Lord, help us toward that end. Bless us as your people. Lord, forgive us when we've played the fool. Lord, forgive us when we've done that which we ought not to have done. Lord, help us. God, have mercy upon us and strengthen us. And may we be wise men and women and children of God for your great name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.